Pray with me, please. God Almighty, bless the message today. As the messenger, I ask you to speak through me today so that all who hear this message will hear from you. Let us hear this word and grow because of it. Draw nigh to you, and you'll draw nigh to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
And the church said,
amen.
And the church shouted,
amen.
God bless you. Please be seated. Nurturing God's gifts for the church and the world. It's alleged that the Antarctic explorer Ernest Shackleton placed an ad in the London newspapers prior to his 1914 Imperial Trans-Antarctic Expedition. And the text of the ad is said to have read like this: men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Who wants to get on that journey? I suspect there's a few men here that sort of think, well, I'd like to hear more. And I didn't mean to exclude women by that. For some, our topic today might seem like that kind of a journey. Safe return, doubtful. I'm going, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. But I want to give you some encouragement today that we're studying a topic that ensures our safe finish, allows us to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It's not as Ernest Shackleton said, safe return, doubtful. I want to spend some time with you today looking at this topic of stewardship. John Maxwell said when he was teaching on this topic, if God is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. And the benefit of a study on stewardship is that it provides a solid basis, a good foundation for our understanding of our responsibility as it pertains to what God entrusts us with. And it's my goal today to be able to address three questions and provide answers for those questions. And the first is, where did we get what it is that we have? Where did it come from? Where did we get it? What are we to do with it? And third, who will answer for it? I began today with the reference of this explorer, Ernest Shackleton, because it reminds us that men are drawn to a challenge. It's my hope that today we'll see the challenge set before us in Scripture and to understand and pursue stewardship. Let's begin in Genesis. In chapter 2 and verse 15, the setting of the scene is God is creating all that we call earth and the sky, and now he's created man. And in verse 15 of chapter 2, we read, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. It's God's garden. And he put Adam in that garden, and he gave Adam a job to do. And we could equally say that God has put us on earth, and he's given us a job to do. And sometimes it's a little harder for you and I to define our job than it was for Adam, because Adam was specifically told what to do and where to do it. But you and I have a job to do. Make no mistake about it. You and I have a job to do. We are to be about something for our Heavenly Father. We are to matter not only to him, but for him. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, we read what is often referred to as the parable of the talents. If you think of talent as money, I don't know exactly what it would be today in our reference of money, but a talent would be worth a lot. And if you're familiar with this parable, you're going to quickly in your mind remember that there was a man who got five talents and a man who got two talents and a man who got one talent. Sometimes we feel sorry for the person who got one talent, but he got a lot. And I tell you that before I read it in Scripture because I want you to understand that even though it wasn't as much as the others received, still God did not withhold from that man, and he has not withheld from you or me. And perhaps today, as we hear this message, we might be thinking, you know, Christine said she has her voice, and that's what she gives, and that's how she worships God and how she shares it with others. And you might have heard that, and you might be thinking, I don't have a gift. I don't have a talent. I don't have anything to use for the glory of God. And I hope that before this message ends today, you will change that, and you say, you know what? I do have a gift. I do have a talent. I do have something that God has given me. He's given me a place to do it, and he's given me what I need to do it with. So let us read in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 14 and read through 30. As I'm turning to it, in case I forget to say it at the end, in my preparation for this service today, I came across many scriptures on stewardship, and I'll leave them on the pulpit today in case you want to come and look at them and make a copy of this, and you want to continue your study on this topic outside of the message. And I would encourage you to do that. In verse 14 of Matthew chapter 25, Christ is speaking, and he says these words, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them another five talents." So here's a man who was given from his master five talents, and now he has 10. So he could say, look at me. Look how wonderful I am. Look how accomplished I am. Look at wonderful things I have done with what I have. But I think you're tracking with me well today, and I think you understand that he shouldn't be so self-centered in his evaluation as I just suggested. But rather, he should say, you know what? God has provided. He's given me a place to do what he's called me to do. He's given me the tools to do what he's called me to do. And God has blessed me in my efforts, and my five talents are now 10. Then he that received, and likewise, we're in verse 17, he that had received two, he also gained two other. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came, and he brought other five, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest me to five, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five more." Imagine a little feeling of pride, perhaps, accomplishment. "I did well, Lord. I doubled what you gave me." Well, verse 21, "The Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, see, this is a powerful concept because, you know, you've heard it said that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Well, as you hear this parable, you'll understand there's some truth to that. But the good news is a poor person can change that and turn that around. And we have an opportunity to do something with what God's given us. And by rich and poor, I don't mean just the measure of a bank account. I mean the measure of what it is we do with what God has given us. Amen? But he that received the one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 more. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice that the Lord spoke the same, whether it was 2 or 5. If someone's been given more talent than you, the Lord will deal with you according to what he's given you. The Lord will deal with you how he has provided for you. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. Basically, I understand that to mean you're God of everything. He said he was afraid, verse 25, and I went and I hid, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. So the Lord got back everything he gave him, didn't he? He gave him 1 talent. 1 talent returned. If you borrow my lawnmower, all I expect back is my lawnmower. Right? I mean, in some cases, it's a pretty appropriate thing to say, this is what you gave me, here it is, I return it to you. Jim Otteson was at our house not too long ago, and when he was leaving, Debbie gave him something in a to-go dish. Actually, it was a disposable to-go dish. It was one of, you know, a Cool Whip tub, and it's a nice container to give somebody when you're giving them something. And he was taking some Jell-O that Debbie's mother had made, Sister Davis. Debbie and Pam's mom makes this great Jell-O. I was looking forward to eating it. Found out my wife had given it to Jim. Well, I'll get back to that later. Almost spun off there, didn't I? So Jim called yesterday, and he said, hey, I've got a dish. I want to return it to you. And when he got to the house and he showed me this Cool Whip container, I said, oh, Jim, you could have thrown it away. And he looked at me like, you don't get it, do you? It's not the dish returning that I'm interested in. It's I'm hoping that this empty, clean container will get filled and reused in the same way it was just. I'm trying to find my spot here. Verse 26. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That's saying you should have put it in the bank and at least got interest on it. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. It's interesting, the master didn't take it back. He said, give it to somebody who's going to do well with it. Give that talent to somebody who's going to use it. Give that talent to somebody who's going to multiply it. He went on to say in verse 29, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I would suggest to you today that we receive 4 lessons from this parable. Success, this is lesson number 1. Success is a product of our work. Success is a product of our work. Using what God has provided, we should be working to multiply it so that it could be used for his glory. Remember, we read in Genesis at the beginning in 2:15, God made the garden and God placed Adam in the garden and he gave him a job to do. Adam's job was to care for it. So it's true that success is a product of our work, but the story of stewardship doesn't end there, for if it did, then we would get the awards, we would get the accolades. And the glory isn't to be for us, it's to be for our Heavenly Father. Could the church say amen? The second lesson we learn is that God gives us what we need to do what he's called us to do. God gives us what we need to do what he's called us to do. And I want to spend just a moment here because I don't want to gloss over that. If you feel that God has called you to do something, he's going to provide the means to do it. The prophet Isaiah talked about waiting on the Lord. We'll renew our strength, mount up as with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. But that idea of waiting on the Lord doesn't mean sitting and watching television until the Lord comes. It means that we should be about his business, prayerfully seeking, amen, and looking for ways to do it. I'm going to tell you a story, and it might seem like such a simple little story, but I've chose this one. I could have chose something much more dynamic, much more grandiose in scope, but I choose this because it's not so big that you might not see yourself saying, yeah, you know what, I could do that. And what I mean is in our day-to-day life, in just day-to-day, if God's laid something on our heart to do, he's going to provide the means to do it. But that doesn't mean we might not have to do some work for it to happen. God had laid on our heart to host a banquet for the NAACP because they were doing a fundraiser to build a headquarters office in Lake County, Illinois, which is where our church, where I was pastoring at that time. The church was here in Norfolk, Pastor Thomas, certainly the senior pastor here. But at that same time, I was in the Chicago area in Waukegan by Great Lakes Navy Base. And so the president of the NAACP had made known to our pastor, Pastor Davis, that he was a senior pastor. I was assisting him. I just realized I might have made it sound like I was the senior pastor, and I'm thinking of the time frame. I wasn't. I was the assistant pastor at that time. And laid on our hearts to do a fundraiser to help them with this. And it came right down time to buy the food. And this was a banquet where we were going to serve 300 people dinner. And people were going to pay to come to this dinner, and then all that money would go to the NAACP to help them with their building campaign. And years ago, and we realized that we didn't have it in our budget to buy the food for this meal. That's a pretty big grocery bill, dinner for 300. And I'm talking a nice white tablecloth, sit-down dinner, salad to dessert, for 300 people. So now we have a goal, but how are we going to buy the food? Because we didn't tell them that we'd take the money for the food out of it and give them what was left. We said, we'll give you everything that gets collected. So how do we do it? So we could have quit. We could have called off the banquet. We could have said, you know what, we're not going to do this. We just don't have the funds to do it. I don't remember what the cost was going to be. Let's just say for purposes of illustration, it was going to cost us $1,200 for the food. Anyhow, we're $1,200 short of a $1,200 budget. That's easy math. So what do we do? Well, what if God's called you to do something, you feel it laid on your heart, you're supposed to do it, but now you can't do it because you don't have the means to do it. Do you just quit? Or do you say, God, show me? Show me how we're doing this. Show me how we're to get the other side of the Red Sea. There's no bridge here. And we're being chased. We can't go back. Show me how we're to do this. And so we prayed. And I don't remember whose idea it was, but someone had an idea. Bless you. Someone had an idea. And the idea was, well, let's just have a little raffle for a color television. We went out and got a color television at the local appliance store, put it at the entrance to the banquet, at the facility for the banquet, and people could buy tickets for $10 each to win the television. It would be given away at the end of the night. Someone there that night was going to take that TV home with them. Do you know how many tickets we sold? $1,200 worth. No, I'm sorry. The TV cost $300. We sold $1,500 worth of tickets. God provided. The meal was free. And someone took the TV home. I've often thought of that little thing, because when God lays something on your heart, he's going to show you a way to make it happen. And I would like you to think about that and really seal that one in and say, okay, God, if you show me what I'm supposed to do, I will seek you out for the means to do it. And I won't just sit with my arms folded and my legs crossed waiting for you to show up with the check. I'm going to pray and seek, how can I do this for your glory? So the first lesson is success is a product of our work. The second lesson is God gives us what we need to do what he's called us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says it like this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And not only are we his workmanship, but it says there that we're created to good works. We're supposed to be about his business. We're not just supposed to come and receive at church, but we are supposed to be about our Father's business everywhere we go. It wasn't too long ago that one of our neighbors in our cul-de-sac expressed a need that they had. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, pray with him right now. And there we were standing by the mailbox. And I said, may I pray with you? We just formed a circle right there, didn't we, Debbie? This couple and Debbie and I, and we just stood there by our mailbox in the cul-de-sac and just asked God to meet that need. And it wasn't but a few weeks later, there we saw each other as we went out to get our mail again. You know how neighbors do. Sometimes that's the occasion where you... And she said, Debbie, Pete, God has answered that prayer. So what if God lays on your heart to just stand with somebody and call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, meet this need? You might say, I don't know how to pray. He'll give you the words. You might say, I don't know what if I make a mistake? Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen? Oh, I would do that, but I don't know how. That's where faith comes in. Lesson number three is that God does not give us all the same talents. He gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, he gave 1 1. He doesn't give us all the same amount of talents, but we have to be stewards for what God's given us. And some people get robbed, they get cheated out of being the blessing they're supposed to be because they compare themselves to someone else. And don't compare yourself to someone else. Compare yourself to the person God wants you to be. Amen? Compare yourself to the person God wants you to be. And if you're the fastest runner on the team, maybe you could still run faster. If you're the biggest giver in the church, maybe you could still give more. If you are the best teacher, maybe you should start teaching teachers how to teach. If God's blessed you, then be a blessing. And the fourth lesson that we're to learn is that we are going to be accountable. We're going to be accountable. This parable is about life stewardship. The unjust steward didn't just waste the master's money. I think it's more important to note that he wasted the opportunity. What opportunity has God given you to do something with what he's provided you with? We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have abilities. We see different things. And sometimes it's easy to get frustrated when you're not when someone else doesn't see what you see or have what you have. How many can think of an area of giftedness that you have more than your brothers or sisters? And I'm not going to ask you what it is, but you think, you know what? I'm better at this than most people around me. Just go ahead and hold them up high. I'm better at this than most people around me. Okay, now just keep them up for a minute, because look at this room. That's what makes the body of Christ functional, right? But now my question to you is, has the devil ever tried to frustrate you because someone else doesn't have that same gift? Sometimes we put it under the heading of pet peeves, and we say, well, you know what? I see this. Everyone should see this. Not necessarily. I can do this. Everyone should be able to do this. Not necessarily. Some people can add a whole row of numbers without a computer, and they look at you like, oh, you can't do that. I'm not sure I can do it with a computer. Right? Don't let the devil get you sidetracked by comparing yourself to someone else. Spend some time looking at how God has gifted you, and allow God to take that gift in your life and show you how to multiply it for His glory. Amen? Has anyone noticed the training? Some of you will listen to this by recorded means, and maybe you can't hear it, but there's a loud rain going on here, and we can hear it. I hear you, God. Anybody see the movie Unbroken? Came out on Christmas. They went days and days and days without water. Do you remember what happened when the hard rain like this started? They laid back and opened their mouths. And I could understand it completely. Yeah. Well, I have to check myself. I've probably never been that thirsty. I've probably never been that parched. I looked at Pastor Ulysse when I said that, and I remember the time Pastor Ulysse said, he was talking, I don't remember whether it was men's fellowship or in a service, but Pastor Ulysse said, how many adult men here have gone 3 days without food or water? 3 days without food or water. And not a person in the room raised their hand. And then Pastor Lee said something that I'll never forget. He said, if you asked that question in Haiti, I doubt you'd find a single man over the age of 25 that wouldn't be able to raise his hand. Do I remember that correctly, Pastor? I never forgot that. That's a startling thing. I'm 60 years old as I speak to you today. I've never gone 3 days without food or water. God's blessed us. He's given us a lot to work with. And I hope what you're hearing here in lesson four is that we're going to be accountable for what God's given us. And I did a little sidebar on that point to say, don't get cheated by comparing yourself to someone else. Look at what God's given you and ask God how you're to use it. Amen? So we had three questions earlier on in this message. Where did we get what we have? God. He's the provider. He's the giver of all good and perfect gifts. If you're breathing today, it's because God's blessed you with the ability to breathe. Even though it's an involuntary function, it just happens. You don't have to think about it. Those are involuntary muscles doing that job in your lungs and so on. That's a gift. It's a blessing. Amen? The second question was, what are we to do with it? Grow it. Let it be multiplied for the glory of God. If God's given you a gift to teach or understand, you know, I want to admit something to you. And those of you who know me well, this will be no admission. You already know it. My strength is not in research and study. I'm not a real scholarly person. I admire those who can read things and absorb all the details from it. I struggle with that. I'm not a real good reader. That embarrasses me to admit that to you. I have to work hard to read something. It's not my strength. I can listen and learn a lot. I'm going to give you an illustration. This is embarrassing to admit, but I'm doing it because I think it might help somebody to just overcome something and say, you know what? I have what I need to succeed. And maybe some of you can identify with this, or maybe I'm the only one in the room. We'll find out. I don't know. When you get something that has to be put together and it has instructions with it, I'm not good at reading the instructions and doing what it says. I'm not... That's not my strength. It's embarrassing to admit that. So you know what I do? I have my wife read the instructions to me, and she can show me the pictures, and I say, oh, I can do that, and I can put anything together. I'm very gifted that way. But to read it and then do it, that's not my strength. It's not my gift. And it's humbling to stand before you and admit that today. But what if I let that be an excuse for me not doing what the Lord's called me to do? What if I let that be an excuse saying, you know, I struggle with getting the nuances and the details when I read scripture, when I read reference books like Matthew Henry's commentary and other reference materials to help you understand scripture. I have to dig deep to just get the meaning out of a sentence. Some of you, you could look at the whole page and it just jumps out at you, all the nuances and details. And I think that's awesome. I'm impressed with that. I'm a little angry with you sometimes, but I said that because I'm hoping that maybe it'll give at least one person some encouragement to say, you know what? You can overcome whatever hurdle is there if you'll seek God and do it for His glory. Amen? The third question that we looked at earlier today is, who will answer for it? I'm sorry, who will we answer to for what God has given us? And the answer to that question is, we'll answer to God. Now, in the parable of the talents, the one who had received 5 talents grew it to 10 talents. But at the end of the parable, how many talents did he have? 11. Because God gave someone else's talent to the man who proved he could use it. Right? So there's two things we can glean from that. One is, don't be the person that's not using your talent and lose it. And the other is, God might give you another talent. Don't miss the opportunity to grow it for His glory. And I want to remind you that in that parable it said that when the master gave the talents, he gave each one according to their several ability. It means they had those abilities in their life. God didn't give them a talent they weren't capable of using. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I want to wrap up today by saying to you that you've been given talents in your life, and God wants you to use them for His glory. You've been given gifts and ability in your life. Use them for God's glory. And if today you're hearing that and it sort of grates on you because you're thinking, I don't think that's me. I don't think I have any gifts or abilities. I don't think I have any talents. Then what I would encourage you to do is revisit this message today. Because in that parable of the talents, it didn't say God gave 5, 2, 1, and none. In that parable, everybody got something. And I would suggest to you today that everybody here has received something. You have something. Amen? If you don't know what that is, then pray and seek God for it. I'd like to ask you to make your plans to come to Wednesday night worship this week and think about a testimony that you would be able to share and speak to me before the service. It depends on how many people come to me. I may not be able to use everyone. Just depends on how many people come. But I'd like to hear, I'm encouraging you to think about and pray about so that we can all hear a testimony how God has blessed you with something and you used it for His glory. God gave something to you. You did like those in the parable of the talent, the five and the two, and you multiplied it. You used it for his glory, and it brought forth fruit. It was good. And to some of you who are very humble, that might sound like, oh, so he wants me to give a testimony where I'm boasting about myself. No. What did Apostle Paul say? If I boast in Christ, right? But think about that. Just show of hands. How many of you right away, even when I said that, you thought, I've got a testimony? Several of you. Amen. Looking forward to those testimonies Wednesday night here in the sanctuary. So as the singers come to close us out with a song right now, the ushers come and take the podium away. I'd like you to leave today. Oh, and I'm going to leave these scriptures, and I'll leave all my notes here. And the podium will be right over there if you wanted those additional scriptures I made reference to earlier about stewardship. And there's a lot of them on there, so if you want to take that and make a copy and bring it back, you can do that. Will you go from this service today and say, okay, God, show me what it is I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not doing. Show me what it is that I'm already doing, but you want me to do it better. Show me how I can be a better steward in my life, a better servant of you, Lord, better in taking that which you've gifted me with and using it for your glory. Help me to eliminate excuses that seem legitimate. And help me to do your work in a way that'll bring glory to you, that I can be blessed and I can be a blessing. Amen. Let's